Good morning. Good to have you with us again. This morning we're reading from Psalm 5. So I want you to open your Bibles. Psalm 5. And I'll be reading the whole psalm. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. This is God's word. Well, let's pray now as we come to hear God's word explained. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we just pray and ask that you would help us to concentrate and to focus on your word so that we might learn not only about who you are, but about how we as Christians should behave. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 5 is a psalm about prayer. It's one of those great psalms of the Bible where an amazing prayer has been written for our benefit, I think. Now, if you're anything like me, prayer is one of those things that we often feel guilty about because we maybe don't pray often enough, or that we don't pray at all. Perhaps we struggle with our prayers. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to say it. Remember that David is caught up in a coup d'etat and is running for his life from his own son, Absalom. He's already shown us that we can have confidence in the Lord. That was the psalm we looked at last week. And in the mess of life and the struggles of life, we can have confidence in God. Psalm 5, David shows us how we should pray. There are lots of examples in the Bible of how we should shape and pray our prayers, like the Lord's Prayer, for example. But here is a prayer prayed by David in the mess of life as he is fleeing for his life. So here, I believe, is an example of a prayer that you and I can pray when life is not treating us well. So really, I've entitled the talk this morning, Pray Like This. My first comment that I want to make this morning is preparing for prayer. David doesn't rush into prayer mindlessly, but prepares himself to pray. How many of us sometimes just rush into prayers and we actually haven't a clue when we stop praying what we've prayed about? But David prepares himself to come to the Lord in prayer. Notice how he does this in the first three verses of the psalm. David urges God to listen to him. He reminds himself of the God he is praying to, and he reminds himself of how God answers prayers. So have a look with me at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help. Notice how David knows that God not only hears his words, but his cry for help as well. how God hears his sighing. Now, how often in our own lives do we not know how to pray? We don't know what to say. All we can do is sigh. Well, remember what Paul told us in Romans 8, verse 26, that he says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. David understood this. He understood that, yes, life was bearing down on him. Yes, life was difficult for him. He didn't know what to pray. He was crying out to God for help and sighing. And David remembers the God he worships. David knows that God will hear his prayers. David knows that God will understand his sighs. David knows that God will know what our requests are through our tears. But notice also here that as David prepares himself for prayer, not only is he reflecting on how God will listen to us in our tears, in our sighing, in our words, but also the God that he worships. In the midst of his distress, of his words, of his tears, of his sighs, notice the God that he mentions who he is praying to. Second half of verse 2, look what he says, "My God, my King." And then he says, "And you hear my voice. As I lay my requests before you, I wait in expectation." You see the personal element here of David's prayer? David is not praying to some being up there. David is praying to his God, to his King, although David himself is a king. David understands that the God he worships, the God that you and I worship, is a personal God. Perhaps David is calling to mind the fact that in Christ Jesus, we are God's children. We and he is our Father. We need to remember this in our prayers, friends. We don't serve some cosmic blob or some distant God that couldn't care less about us. We serve a God, friends, who sacrificed himself on the cross so that the way to him might be opened for us. That, friends, allows us to call him Father. David prepares himself to pray, recognizing that he might not always have the words, recognizing that he is upset, that he is tears, recognizing that God is his God. And so David goes into his prayer. Perhaps, friends, I wonder how often our prayers are not serious, or we're not seriously committed to prayer because we've forgotten who we worship. I wonder if our prayers are not effective because we fail to trust in the personal God that we claim to follow. Perhaps our prayers are not working, or we're not giving up prayers because we don't always know what to pray or how to pray. Friends, prepare yourselves for prayer. Remember who God is. Remember that he doesn't just need words, and he doesn't need eloquent words at that. He also hears our sighing. He also hears our tears. So prepare yourself for prayer by reminding yourself of who God is. My second comment that I'm making this morning is that as David has prepared himself to pray, he now praises God. Really, verse 4, right through to the first half of verse 7, David praises the Lord. David reflects on the God he worships, and it drives him to praise God. David's first item of praise is in fact the wicked and the evil. that cannot prosper in the presence of God. It does sound a little bit harsh, and it's a little bit maybe twisted way of praising God, but it is just as necessary as praising God for His goodness. And we'll chat about this in a moment. But look at what David praises God for. Verse 4. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. David is praising God because although the wicked seem like they are ruling the world, although the wicked seem like they are succeeding, when it comes to God, they will not succeed. You see, friends, when we look at our world today and we see evil politicians coming into power, when we see money laundering, when we see embezzlement, when we see the wicked just living their lives with no concern for anything, when we see how arrogant people can be, how bloodthirsty, how deceitful they could be, we sometimes might question God. How can this God that we claim to follow allow these people to literally get away with murder? Well, friends, He doesn't. And David praises God that in the long term, in reality, they might be successful now, but they will not be able to come into the presence of God. And God will deal with them. Later on in the psalm, David actually prays that they would be banished, that they would be dealt with. Of course, we know that much of this is in the future when the Lord returns to earth. But we have this hope in this amazing thing. We can praise God that the wicked will not get away with their wickedness forever. They will have to hold, they will be held to account. So as David praises God that God will deal with the wicked, he also praises God for a second thing here, and you'll notice this in verse 7, the first half of verse 7. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. David realizes that the only way into the presence of God, the only way that he is able to stand before God, is not because he's better than anybody else, but because of God's mercy. Just, you can go and read through the story of David. And you'll notice how wicked a man he was, how arrogant he was, how bloodthirsty he was when he couldn't get his Bathsheba to marry him. David told lies. David was bloodthirsty. David was arrogant. And so David recognizes that unless God showed him mercy, he would be among the wicked that he's just spoken about, and praise God that he can deal with them. So David praises God for the mercy he has received. How often are we so judgmental on other people because they've done this thing wrong or sinned here or done that? But friends, when we truly look at our own lives and realize how sinful we are, we have to praise God for His mercy. For the mercy that He showed us by taking the punishment that we, that you and I deserve upon Himself, so that we might be made clean and be able to stand before God. Friends, how different is that approach to prayer than ours? When we're in difficult times, what do? We curse God. We bemoan Him because of the hardships that we're going through. Perhaps we need to take a feather out of David's cap here And in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of the mess of life, we should be thankful that God showed you and I mercy. We should be thankful that God will ultimately deal with our enemies. We should be thankful for the fact that God has opened the way to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. So friends, as we come to God in prayer, prepare your prayer. Praise the Lord. And then, and only then, can we bring our request to God. And so my third comment, David now petitions the Lord. So we're already halfway through the psalm. In fact, yeah, we're just over halfway through the psalm before David actually prays to God what's bothering him. David makes his request to the Lord. Look at second half of verse 7 into verse 8. He says, "In reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me." Do you see what David's petition to the Lord is? Notice the words that he's using. Reverence, righteousness, and your way. Recall what is happening in David's life at this moment in time. He's scared for his life. He's running. There's an untold number of men chasing him and hunting him down. David's petition is not that God would stop that and give him his position back, but rather that he would continue to worship God despite what is going on. In a sense, because he has prepared himself to pray by reminding himself who he worships, because he has praised God who destroys the wicked and shows mercy to those who follow him, he knows that the way to God answering his prayers and dealing with his situation is to ensure that he continues to serve the Lord despite what is happening in his life. The idea of being able to come to the Lord in reverence, in respect, in admiration, in awe, is bound up in his continued belief of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, the notion for God to lead him into righteousness, to make straight ways, to make straight the ways of God before him. David has already, in these psalms, prayed directly to God about his problem. But for him, the more important element is not so much his problem, but his remaining faithful to God. Remaining faithful to a God who does deal with the wicked. Remaining faithful to a God who has shown mercy to us. For David, it's more important to remain true to God than escaping his situation. Again, friends, how different to our own prayers. We don't follow the Lord like we should, but when life happens, we suddenly turn to him and expect him to deliver us and give us everything we want and need. When last have you, or I for that matter, prayed to God in the midst of our troubles, asking him to help us to remain faithful to him? Perhaps, friends, we need to experience God's mercy in forgiving us for that, so that we can truly pray to him. So David has prepared his prayer. David has praised the Lord in his prayer. David has lifted up his petition to God. And now David relishes in the protection of the Lord. Verses 9 through to the end of the psalm. Notice how David, as he's just prayed his petition to the Lord, now reflects on God's protection. First, he reflects on how God deals with the wicked. So he's back to the wicked again. Verse 9 and 10, "Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is full of destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. that their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. Friends, David knows who the God is that he worships. He knows that he is able to take hope in the fact that the wicked and those who are against the Lord will not stand with him. He understands that if he is to have peace in this life, God has to deal with his enemies, with the wicked. And so he prays that God would protect him as the wicked are dealt with. This is who the wicked are. God, deal with them, and I know that you will. The second element that David reflects on for God's protection is that he knows that God has him under his wings. Look at verse 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. You see what's going on here? God's protection of us leads us to joy, leads us to rejoicing, leads to blessing. In the midst of our struggles, God is there with us. He's helping us. That's why we can praise God for his mercy. That's why we can praise God that he deals with our enemies. But notice also here the idea again, as we discovered last week, of the shield. Except in this case, this is not a shield just held in front of us like a shield would be in battle. Notice how we are told here, you surround, verse 12, them with your favor as with a shield. This is a shield that covers you completely. It surrounds you like a force field. And God is there with us in the midst of those struggles, like a force field around us, protecting us. Jesus as our shield is perhaps like the mother hen who was found dead after a fire swept through the farmyard. And when the farmer went to remove the dead chicken, he found all her chicks alive and well under her. The fire still swept through the farm. The chicks still had to endure the heat of the fire. But their mother protected them and in fact gave her life for them so that they could continue. Friends, that's what God does with us. There are wicked people around us. There are adverse circumstances that happen all the time. God will deal with those. But in the interim, God is our shield around us. And those who serve him, God will bless. Maybe not always here and now today, but God will bless us in the world to come. So to sum up, we need to prepare our prayers as we come to God, remembering who we serve. We need to praise God that he does not tolerate the wicked, and that he shows mercy to the faithful. We need to petition the Lord to keep us faithful to him, and we need to reflect on his protection in the midst of life. 4 points to make it easy for us to remember to pray. Prayer starts with the letter P. So, the 4 points, prepare, praise, petition, and protection. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you are indeed an amazing God, Lord, a God who shows us mercy, a God who's shown us love. But Lord, we also thank you that you are a God that does indeed deal with the wicked. Although it seems for now that they're getting away with things, Lord, we know that ultimately you will deal with them and you will bring them to task. So, Lord, keep us following you in these trying times. Help us to remain faithful to you. And we thank you again, Lord, for your protection of us through this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, just one comment, and that is just to urge you to try and get back to church. At the end of this month, we will be stopping our online talks. So do try and make your way to church if you're able to. If you're not, we will still continue to upload the audio of the talks onto our church website. But it would be great to see you in church through the course of this month. And we'll have a great week, and God bless.